Well, good morning. And welcome, those of you who are able to come out this morning, welcome this beautiful Michigan day. And those of you who are streaming with us, thank you for being here too. Try our church next time instead of just watching our church next time. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. We're going to get to the word that I believe God gave me this morning for you. But first, I'd like to read a scripture. A scripture that I'm sure you've all heard a lot. If you've been in this church very much, you've heard it a whole lot. But it's found in the book of Ephesians, okay? I really think that sometimes we forget where our battles come from. Amen? We can get mad at people. We can get mad at things. But ultimately, we forget what the ultimate source of our battle is. But we have to remember, and sometimes we have to be reminded that the Bible warns us, okay? In Ephesians 6:10, it says, "My brethren and my sistern, all right, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Why? Why? Why do I have to put on the whole armor of God? Why do I have to stand against the wiles of the devil? Verse 12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." Where does your battle come from? Come on. "We do not wrestle," excuse me, "against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty clear. Amen? And you can say, well, I don't like spiritual warfare, but you know what? It doesn't matter if you like spiritual warfare because it likes you. Amen? And you're going to go through it, and that's the way it is. And the truth is, you and I fight daily, and sometimes it seems like we fight moment by moment. Amen? This battle with unseen forces of darkness. The title of the message for today is "The Prison of Your Past." Okay? The prison of your past. If you would stand with me, please, and we will declare our Bible declaration this morning together. Are you ready? Hold your Bible up in the air, or your phone, whatever you got, all right? Your pad. Are you ready?
Ready?
All right. "This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go." Amen. Let's go. You can be seated. Are you ready for the Word this morning?
Ready.
Amen. Is this side ready for the Word this morning?
Yes.
I knew it. Okay. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says this: "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free." And then it comes with a warning. It says, "And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Contextually, the scripture is talking about being entangled once again by the rules of the law. That was what the Galatians were tending to do. They were set free by the blood of Jesus. They were living through justification by faith, and all of a sudden they were sliding back into the rules of the law. But and that's what it means contextually, okay? But there's a principle here, if you will, that is applicable in other areas as well. How many of you know the Bible can say and talk to many different areas of your life? Areas like this, okay? You can live on the edge of sin, or excuse me, you can't live on the edge of sin because Satan will pull you in, amen? And you'll find yourself entangled again with that old familiar yoke of bondage. Come on. And things like this: you can't mess around with your past, or your past will become part of your present, come on, and you are entangled again with a yoke of bondage that you are so familiar with. Are you with me? What we have to remember is this, is it's our past that put us in prison. Come on. It's our past that put us in this prison of sin that we broke out of. Are you following me? All of you following me? We saw last week that Paul wrote us a warning in 2 Corinthians 2:11 that we should not be ignorant of the devil's devices. Because if we are ignorant of his devices, he will then take advantage of us. All right? That's the Bible. That's the way it is. And the truth is, if we aren't ignorant of the enemy's tactics, we will be less likely to be pulled into his antics. All right? I just want you to remember that. Maybe that'll help you to remember that. I mean, just turn to your neighbor right now and touch him on the shoulder and say, I won't be tempted by his tactics. All right. All right. So I have just one question for you to think about this morning as we get started in the sermon. And that's this. Are you among those who have been released from their past by the blood of Jesus? Or are you among those who are enslaved to their past by the accusations of the enemy? Let me say it again. Are you among those who have been released from their past by the blood of Jesus? And we all said, amen.
Amen.
Yeah? Or are you among those who are enslaved to their past by the accusations of the enemy? There is one thing about the enemy, and again, I always say this disclaimer, you know, I don't like to talk about the enemy, but we have to be aware. Amen? Come on. We have to be aware. But there's one thing about our enemy, the devil, all right? And that's this. If he can convince you to visit your past, he can convince you to live in your past. All right? I'm going to say that again. If he can convince you to visit your past, he can convince you to live in your past. And if you live in your past, you will never realize what God has for you in your future. And if there's one thing that the enemy likes to do to Christians, it's this, all right? He likes to keep the Christians in the prison of their past so that he can affect their future. Come on, you ought to say amen real loud to that one. Amen, amen. Gary Timmer, could you please come up here and pray for the message?
Everybody ready to get real with yourself today? You know, we absolutely can be real with God because he knows anyways. But I think sometimes we have to get real with ourselves. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, as Pastor Wes speaks your word today and reveals to us what you've revealed to him, God, I pray that we would just do that, that we would get real with ourselves, Lord, and real with you, of course. But Father, I pray that today, Lord, that you would send forth conviction, God, that you would send forth encouragement, Lord, and that you would help us to get to be where we need to be. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Pastor Wes. And God, just have your way in each one of us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Gary. And I want to thank Amber, oh, for crying out loud. Kaylin, I got too many kids, for being able to get this up on the screen because I gave it to her right at the very, very start of worship, okay? Amen. And really what Gary talked about is what I want to do today. I want us to get real with ourselves. I think one of the scriptures that is the most disappointing scriptures, the most terrible scriptures where it says, and they deceived themselves. Amen? They deceived themselves. You know, we don't have to deceive ourselves. What we really need to do is tell ourselves the truth. Amen? And we got a God that works through that truth. All right? Amen. Amen. The truth about our daily Christian walk is this, okay? That sometimes our flesh or our carnal nature, if you will, wins out over our spiritual nature. Come on. I really wish that wasn't true, but it really is the truth. Even the most sanctified saint, okay, finds themselves in a place where they have fallen to their flesh. That's the way life is. But there is another enemy that we fight, excuse me, on a daily basis. We fight our flesh. There's no doubt about that. We fight our flesh. But the other enemy that we fight on a daily basis is Satan, okay? It's Lucifer. It is the accuser of the brethren. It's our second enemy, if you will. And I just wonder if this has ever happened to you, okay? So just listen to this. After the sermon on a Sunday morning, and God really spoke to your heart, and you decided that you were going to really follow Jesus this time, and this time, nothing was going to stop you. You were going to go for it. You were going to fight the flesh, amen? You're going to win the battles against the enemy, every battle against the enemy. You're not going to digress and let your devotional time slip with the Lord. You're going to get up early and read your Bible and pray every day, right? These are the commitments that you're making. This time it's going to be different. This time it's going to be different. Nothing's going to stop you. You got the keys, man, you know? And guess what? Unless it's only me, come Monday morning, it's all gone. Come on. And at the first fight, whether it's a fight of frustration or a reminder of your failures, you're right back to where you started from. How many of you know what I mean this morning? Come on. Why does this happen? What is the problem? Let me tell you this morning, okay? Just let me tell you. As great as our God is, and how many of you know God is great? Amen. As great as our God is, God can't deliver you from your past when every time you are faced with your past, you won't let go of your past. Amen? Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 8 and 9 in that book. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Are you there? It encourages us, it exhorts us in this passage. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. In other words, everybody faces this kind of stuff, right? Everybody goes through these battles. So resist him, steadfast in the faith. So the title of the sermon this morning is The Prison of Your Past, okay? The Prison of Your Past. Just out of curiosity, has the devil ever tried to use your past against you? Oh, a couple of you, yeah? Does it seem like every time you're able to bury your past, he comes along and dredges up your past? And when you make the decision to focus on your future, the devil reminds you of your failures of the past. Oh, he does. If he hasn't, he will. Maybe he tells you something like this, okay? You're in the mess that you are in because the mess that you are in is because of the mess that you made. Come on, that's good preaching, all right? Don't even try to ask God to help you because you got yourself into this mess. And because of this, now you're going to have to get yourself out of this mess by yourself. God won't help you. No, because you are reaping exactly what you have sown, and you know what the scriptures say. God is not mocked. Be not deceived. You're going to reap it. You know, if you've ever heard these kinds of accusations from the enemy, or any accusation for that matter, then 1 Peter 5:8 was written just for you, okay? Just for you. It says this once again. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, what I'd like to do is just look at the verbiage in this verse this morning and tear it apart and see what it's saying to us. If you look at the word sober in this verse, it simply means to be self-controlled, okay? We should all know how to do that, or at least know what that is. Amen? All right. But the word vigilant, okay, the word vigilant comes from the Greek word gregorio, which means to be on your guard, okay, to be watchful or to be very, very attentive. Gregorio primarily speaks of the watchful attitude that someone has that's on the lookout to make certain that the enemy or aggressor, no enemy or aggressor, can successfully gain entry into his or her life or his or her residence. Did you hear that? Or his or her residence. I don't know about you this morning, but after reading that, I think I'll choose to be voraciously vigilant. Amen? I don't want the enemy in my life. I don't want the enemy in my house where I live. Well, the enemy can't just go. What does it say? You don't want the enemy bothering you. You don't want the enemy in your house. I don't want to go home and find him in my house because I've done things in my house that I shouldn't have done in my house. Right. Amen. What this word is doing is it's warning us that we must be on high alert against the enemy who is seeking to gain access into our lives, whether it's through our life or through our place of residence. That's just the way it is. We learned in part 4 of Bible Basics 101, which is a series that we're in, that the enemy tries to penetrate our minds so he can penetrate our personality. So in turn, he can manipulate our minds. All right? I hope you remember that. So being on guard should not be taken lightly, and the fact that the Bible says be on guard should not even be taken as an option. We should be on guard. Always, say always. Always waiting and always watching for the enemy so that we are ready when he comes. And please understand something this morning. It isn't if he comes. Come on. It's when he comes, all right? Whether he is coming, it's through your actions or the actions of others or the action of himself or the action of you. You know what? He's coming. And I don't like to be the bearer of bad news, but the Bible is telling us and warning us that we have to be on guard, okay? That doesn't mean that we're just on guard today and tomorrow we just walk away and don't think about it, all right? Oh, I don't give that devil any credence. How's that working for you? You shouldn't give the devil credence, but you can't ignore the fact either. The Greek tense of the word vigilant means to be continually and perpetually on watch, all right? And what that means is this. It's not a one-time act of vigilance. It isn't. And you can't decide to be vigilant today and not be vigilant tomorrow, but it's the always attitude. Say, God, give me an always attitude. One of a person who is unwavering in their commitment, someone who has resolved that they will never let up and their pledge to be watchful and wide awake and waiting, if you will, always on the lookout to make sure that some demonic sinister force doesn't successfully sneak up to sabotage you or overtake you. Boy, you're sure preaching negative. No, I'm preaching Bible here today, okay? Stay on guard. Stay vigilant. Keep watching. It doesn't say don't enjoy yourself, or it doesn't say to focus per se on that, but keep watch. Always be looking. Always be aware of the fact that an attack could come from any corner, any time. The fact that Peter uses the word Gregorio lets us know that the devil can secretly, sneakily attack, and he can do that in a secret and sneaky way. And he is sneaky. He is sneaky. Half the time you think it's coming from your friend or your neighbor or your mother or your father or your in-laws. And you're just convinced that they don't like you. Well, they might not like you. I don't know that. But even if they don't like you, okay, the source is not them. The ultimate source that brings the confusion and that brings the lack of unity is the enemy. Are you with me this morning? So you and I have to be constantly attentive and have that always attitude in order to keep the devil out of our affairs. Okay? Always attitude. Peter goes on to say this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary. Well, what does that mean? What's the word adversary mean? Well, it comes from the Greek word antikos. Now let me say that again because I didn't say it right. Antidikos. Antidikos. This word was used in New Testament times for a lawyer, and please pay attention to this, who argued in a court of law, okay? This was a picture of a prosecutor who brought people into the court and then argued passionately against them. And then he sent them off to prison. And now Peter, he uses this word to depict the way the devil endeavors to be the driver of our daily lives. Come on. Peter's telling us that when the enemy attacks, he often attacks as an attorney who tries to bring us down by prosecuting us with the facts, not with our future, but many times with our past sins and mistakes. The enemy drags up our failures from the past and then reminds us of our former failures, and his goal is to convince us, to convince you and I, that we deserve to be the mess, we deserve to be in the mess we are in. And so somehow, some way, he convinces us just to stay in that mess. Amen. That's right. If the devil is successful in his prosecution, okay, he will also persuade us into believing that we are unrighteous and unworthy, and nothing is farther from the truth. I don't care if you're messing up big time. If you know Jesus and you love Jesus and your heart is to turn in the right direction, let me tell you something. You are not unworthy. Amen. Come on. You are not unworthy. You are not unrighteous. But he likes to convince us that we deserve a just punishment for whatever part of our past problems he's prosecuting us with. Ultimately, he brings condemnation. And sometimes people get mixed up between condemnation and conviction. Okay, condemnation pushes you away from God. Conviction draws you closer to God. Okay, it makes you want to change. Condemnation just tells you there's no hope. All right, conviction says, hey, you might be right here now, but you know what? You can be right here then. You only have to do this. All right, condemnation says there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can be. There's nobody you can confess. There's not you. You're done. No hope. It really is terribly unfortunate sometimes that many mature believers assist the devil in his efforts to prosecute them, because they do. They do. By being irresponsible or negligent to key areas in their life. How many of you know there are things you know to do, and there are things you know not to do? Come on, come on. Well, what do I mean? People don't read the Bible. People don't read the Bible, and they never find out who they are and what they have in Christ and the authority that they have as a believer. Others neglect the fellowshipping of the saints together, you know. They don't go to church, and then they can't figure out why they feel so alone in their battle. They can't figure out why they don't seem to have any help. Are you with me? There has been times when the most priceless thing that I could get a hold of is a brother or a sister to pray for me. Amen. You know what? They don't come to my house. You know where they go? To church. And I can go to church and meet them there. Amen. Oh, gosh. You don't like that? Amen. Do not forsake the fellowshipping of yourselves together, as is the matter of some, as you see the day approaching. More and more, as time goes on, people are not going to come to church. I don't know if it's because we stream, and everybody streams so you can sit home and watch it. I don't know why it is, but the Bible makes it very clear that a time is coming, and probably now is, okay, where people aren't going to think church is important. I'm going to tell you something. This is going to be a real revelation, okay? Church is important. It's important. Well, I don't go to church. I just read the Bible at home and fellowship with God. Well, where do you give your tithe? Well, where do you work out your salvation? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm meddling. But many Christians have forgotten the power that the blood of Jesus has to take away their past. Amen. I think the most glorious thing when I got saved was when I found this verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17. You know, it's among the first scriptures that I memorized as a new born-again believer, and it simply says this, and say it if you know it, but I'm going to say it in King James because that's how I know it, okay? Therefore, If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all, how many? All things are become new. Glory be to God. Or how about Romans 8, 1 and 2? You know, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. When we sin and we do wrong, his grace is there to forgive and restore us and to put us back on our feet again. Amen? Amen. You know why? Say nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing is greater than the grace of God. Nothing is greater. However, we still have to be on guard and we still have to be watchful. Because our adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That verse was written to saved people, not to the world. That verse was written to saved people. But Jesus took care of the devil. He is no longer a problem. How's that working for you? And I want to tell you something. The enemy never forgets. He never forgets. He remembers every past failure that we have made along the way. And like an attorney and like an adversary, he comes to accuse you. Like a lawyer, okay? He presents his points, all right? You're in the mess you're in because of your own mistakes. We talked about that. You're reaping what you have sown, and there's no way for you to get out of this situation. You have to pay for your past. God forgave you once for this. He certainly isn't going to forgive you again. Your kids are the mess they are because you failed as a parent. You've destroyed all of your friendships because you weren't a faithful friend. And you know what? You know what? Sometimes, say sometimes, the devil can be accurate in what he says. He really can. It may be true that you created the mess. And you really might have made a mistake and messed up your friendships by not being a faithful friend. And maybe your kids are the way they are because of what you did. I don't know. Some of the devil's accusations may be true. I mean, seriously, why would he make up some absurd fantasy that wouldn't affect you? You got to think about that. The devil is going to try to use facts and arguments that make sense to you so you will agree with him. Don't ever agree with the enemy. That just starts things manifesting in your life. That's just like a doorway to your past, opening it up and having it flood back in. Don't ever agree with the enemy. Agree with what God says about you in the Word of God. Amen. David told us in Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives, how much? All your iniquities. Who heals, what? All your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. That sounds like a good God to me. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your mouth is renewed like, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. It's 66, I like the idea of that. You know what I mean? I like that. I want to have renewed strength like the eagles. But that's good news. Come on. That's good news, people. That's good news that we can be renewed, that he gives us all things. Now listen, Colossians 1:13 says something else pretty powerful. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Glory to God. Glory to God. We have been conveyed. If you keep dwelling on the accusations of your past that the enemy is speaking against you in your mind, you'll end up living in the condemnation of your past. I don't know about you, but before I got saved, I didn't have any hope. My marriage was over. Pretty much all my friends were done. All right? Are you with me now? I mean, there was nothing left. All right? I don't want to live in the condemnation of my past. But we have to remember as Christians, and just remember this, and if you don't write anything else down, write this down today. Our past has perished. That means it's died. That means it's gone. Come on. Our past has perished and our future is flourishing. I mean, you look at the Word of God, and of course, you've heard this 50 times before, 100 times before. In the end of the book, we win, and that's the way it is, okay? We win. And all the terrible things that happen, we win. And I don't know about you, I just soon get out on the first boat out in the rapture. You can stay for the tribulation if you want to. I'm meddling again. There's one more thing I want to tell you, if you'll let me, okay? Peter goes on to say this: the devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Have you ever heard a lion when they're hungry? They roar so loudly that the sound is almost deafening. So loudly. Peter is saying, this is what it's like when the devil starts attacking your mind with anything, but especially your past. Your mind is so filled with the roars, the resounding roars of the enemy's accusations that you struggle to hear the truth of the Word of God. Now, that's loud. You better make sure that the truth of the Word of God is in you. Amen? Is in you. Amen. Even when other people are trying to tell you the truth, it's hard to hear what they're going or what they're saying, because the lies are roaring so loudly in your mind. And you know what I'm talking about. You know what he attacks you with. And when he attacks you, that's all you hear. When he comes against you and you're getting, you know, lower and lower because he keeps on saying it over and over, I'm no good. Pretty soon you believe I'm no good. Come on, people. And that roar is so loud that it can beat you down. And if you keep listening to the devil's lies, he will make sure your life is a living hell.
Pastor said hell.
Yeah. In fact, that's the first time I've ever sworn. In fact, don't lie. Peter says this about the enemy. He will devour you. The word devour is the Greek word pino, which means to drink up, okay, or to lick up, or to slurp up, if you will. Just as a lion might lick the blood of his conquered prey off the ground. Don't be grossed out, just picture it. Please hear this. It's like the devil wants you to turn into a mess of liquid emotions, okay? And then lick you up until there's nothing left of your life. That's what he wants to do with you. Okay, that's what he wants to do with you. Say, that's what he wants to do with me. But I've got good news. You don't have to let him do it. And that's the whole idea of being vigilant. That's the whole idea of being ready. That's the whole idea of having the Word of God in your heart. That's the whole idea of knowing who you are in Christ. That's the whole idea of going to church all the time. That's the whole idea of serving God. Are you with me this morning? When you put all these words together, all right, all these words, 1 Peter 5:8 could be interpreted like this, all right? You must constantly be alert and on your guard. The devil, like an accusing lawyer, will try to charge you with all kinds of arguments and accusations. You need to know that he is like a lion on the prowl, constantly walking around, roaring with a deafening sound, earnestly seeking the kind of person he can completely consume and slurp up. All right? The good news is you don't have to fall victim to the devil's attacks. Because Peter tells us in advance that we have to resist him steadfast in the faith. He says, all these things are so, but I want you to resist him steadfast in the faith. And James 4:7 tells us, therefore submit to God, resist the devil. Come on, say resist the devil. And he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I don't know about you. I'd rather have God drawing near to me than the enemy drawing near to me. Come on. And how many of you know that if God is drawing near to me, the enemy is going away from me? Amen. Amen. We have to be people, all right, who practice what it says in Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen? When was the last time you quoted or read that scripture at a time when you were going through some things? Remember Matthew 18:18, and I've been talking about this for the last 4 or 5 weeks. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Amen? Well, I'm not going to let the devil come at me unabated. I'm going to bind him and stop him with the authority that Christ has given me. Or you and I are just going to stand there and let him come, and then we're going to hear what he has to say, and it's hard to not receive what he says because he says it so loudly. Are you with me? Isaiah 55:11. I want to shoot the word at the enemy. I want the bullets that come out of my mouth to be the bullets of the Bible. Amen? Amen? Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. Glory be to God. It shall not return to me void. What? But it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. You can't speak the word of God and not have something happen. Oh, come on, people. One of the most powerful things that we have on this earth is the word of God. What do you mean? When I say this, this is going to happen? What I'm telling you is this. When you speak the word of God, your faith builds. Amen? And when your faith builds, what else happens? That pleases God. And when you please God, what do you think is going to happen? Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Let me ask you something. Has the devil been harassing you about anything in particular in your past? Yesterday is your past. Did you know that? When you cussed out your husband yesterday. You shouldn't do that. No. No matter what you did yesterday, okay? Yesterday is your past.
Amen.
That doesn't mean you should carry it into today.
Amen.
Come on. That doesn't mean that you should do it again. That means you should do whatever you can not to do it again. All right?
Amen.
But it's never been about the perfection of our lives. It's been about the direction of our lives. Are you tired of this constant harassment? I mean, I don't know what you're going through. All I know is if God gives me a word like this, there's got to be something that somebody is going through. You know, and I don't know what that might be, but are you tired of that constant harassment?
Amen.
Then it's time for you to stand up. I'd like to tell you something else, like, oh, I will pray for you, but no. It's time for you to stand up yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Come on. Throw back your shoulders and tell him what the Word of God promises you as a child of the living God, as a born-again believer.
Amen.
And again, it's not the perfection of your life. Now, is it? God has proclaimed this, as far as the east is from the west. That's a long ways. Amen? As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. What you did yesterday, you said you're sorry and you mean it. You can't even see it anymore. So don't bring it up. Don't live in it. And don't let the enemy bring it up so that you will live in it. Your past, now hear me please, your past is buried with Christ. It is covered by the blood of Jesus. You can't see through the blood of Jesus, amen? You are a new creature without that past that you had, and there is no reason to live in the prison of your past. I mean, you should give God praise this morning. You're a new creature in Christ, and every day you get up, every time that it's in the morning, every time you get up and you decide that you're going to serve God, you know what? You're a new creature in Christ, and that old stuff isn't hanging on to you anymore. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Yeah, give him praise this morning. God is good. And I don't know about you. I can't speak for you. I will take the conviction of God's word over the condemnation of the enemy any day of the week. I would rather spend time in God's word to find out where I have to improve than to be told I can't improve by the enemy. Somebody's, you know that Bob Dylan song? I really date myself. You got to serve somebody, but you know what? Somebody's going to speak to you. You either have your words, you have your ears open to the word of God and to God and his words, or your ears open to the enemy and his accusations. Why don't you bow your head this morning?